We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Tyrese Haliburton, and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
In the pace with Alex and Fauci, Alex and Fauci, Alex and Allison. If I put our jacks in the paint, how you gonna stop me? How you gonna stop me? We can go head to head. Call out your top three. Call out your top three. Look at the switch from Buddy Hill. Now that boy got three. We got Haliburton running point. This is the Benedict for the shot. If anybody gonna come in the post, then we got Miles Turner for the block. Setting the pace, going to the top. Setting the pace, going to the top. This is your number one podcast. Sweeping every team. We gonna need a mop.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode here of Setting the Pace. I'm your host, Alex Goldman. Joining me is the lovely one, the chip master himself, Michael J. Fauci. How's it going, Chippy?
Hey, I'm a chip off the old block, aren't I?
Oh, look, my God.
Got a chip on your shoulder? Yeah, that I do. That I hint a lime on my shoulder. Alex, I'm always thrilled to be talking Pacer basketball. So, look, wait, you know, life's pretty good. Team's playing hard, but it all depends. What do you really want out of this team?
I know, Fauci. I mean, let's not even get into that. But I think today is going to be an awesome opportunity for us to look at the roster and rank the veterans and rank the young players. So we're going to break this up into two tiers. Fauci and I are going through. We're going to look at the vets on this team. There's six vets, and there's 11 of the young players on this team. We went Chris Duarte's age and younger to make it work. So we're going with that 11 group and that group of six, and we're going to rank them from inverse order. So from bottom to top, and then share our thoughts when we have them ranked there. So I'm curious, who do you have at number six?
This is very tough because this could go either way. Really could. So with a flip of a coin, you could have a different answer. I'm going to go George Hill here because
– Oh, wow, okay.
I had a different answer about 5 minutes ago, and then I really started going, oh, man, I don't know. And I'll tell you why. Because George Hill, outside of – you know, he's played with a couple guys on this team, but James Johnson was an absolute fan favorite, and that's why I have them swapped. But for George Hill, he wants to play more. Will the Pacers have an opportunity for George Hill to play more next year? I don't really know, so that's where I got him.
Okay, well, I actually have at number six, Daniel Tice. Now, let me explain why. He did play more minutes, valuable minutes, I guess you could say, than Hill and Johnson. And a lot of people say right now he is the backup center to Miles Turner. And Isaiah Jackson and Jalen Smith are just kind of in the waiting, right? I guess that's what you'd call it. But for me personally, Fauci, I feel like Tice does not fit the style of play they want to play. And I feel like his leadership has not been as magnified as, like you said, a George Hill or a James Johnson. So mm-hmm. I think that they would be more willing to move off of him, especially since he's owed a lot more money. So if you put money with his fit, with what they're trying to do in terms of like position-wise, I think that he's probably the least valuable out of the six.
Okay. The reason why I'll get to it. Next on my list, I got James Johnson.
Okay.
Because at this point, James Johnson's turning 37 years old.
Yeah.
Hasn't played much. He's been a great teammate. I honestly think this is probably the last season for James Johnson. If he was to return, it could be in Indiana as like the last guy, you know, on the bench just to keep kind of that culture that they had going. But I really think that this is it for James Johnson.
Yeah, I have James at 5-2, so I have George Hill ahead of him at 4. I'll just go ahead and spoil them both, and I'll just do my 4 real quick. But why I got James Johnson at 5 over George Hill at 4 is because George Hill plays a position of need. And with Nembhard playing a lot of off-ball, it's kind of put George Hill as the third-string point guard. And with Tyrese's injury, he's become that third-string point guard, and I think that's just more of a valuable position. George is also able to play off-ball, and he can shoot the ball well. So I just feel like George still has more left in the tank. And what he means to Indiana is a lot more than what James Johnson means to Indiana.
Yeah.
In terms of the city, the fans, that type of thing. And I still think James Johnson means a lot to this team because of his relationship with Tyrese and what he's done as a veteran this year. So I think they both have a very similar impact, but I just gave George Hill the nod over James Johnson in terms of value because of his ties to the city.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And that was the swap that I made at the last second, but next on my list, I have Daniel Theis, and the reason why is because he could be valuable in at least a trade salary filler. But it's George Hill, James Johnson, they're not under contract past this year, so it just makes me feel like, you know what, those guys can't bring anyone back in a trade. I don't think anyone's going to want to do a sign-and-trade for either of them. So Daniel Theis, I just feel like he could be packaged with maybe a pick. Maybe the Pacers take on a player who has more years on his deal. That is strictly it. Other than that, I mean, I'm definitely over the Daniel Theis era. And I'm at least happy that Carlisle, once realized that they weren't going to be able to trade him, was like, hey, man, you're probably going to have to sit for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say the trade value does give him a little bit more of an edge because he does have more value than a George Hill or James Johnson in the trade. But if you're looking at it from a Pacer standpoint, I don't think he makes much sense on this roster. I don't really think he made any sense coming into the year.
He did not.
The injury and the playing and FIBA and playing for Germany, I think that did kind of impact everything. So let's move on to number 3, Fachi. Who you got?
Number 3, I got TJ McConnell.
Okay, right, I got the same thing.
Yeah. For McConnell, look, he's the perfect teammate. Always ready. Felt like this, I mentioned earlier, I feel like this was a resurgence for McConnell. And he actually took a big step from shooting, you know, forward shooting threes. He's picked and choose the spots. He's shooting 44% on the year. I feel like every team could use a TJ McConnell, but obviously at this point, 30 years old, we're looking to have other guys step into a bigger role. That's why I got him at number 3 for the vets.
Same reason here. I think out of the 3 vets that we have remaining, Miles, Buddy, and McConnell, he's the least important of the 3. Still very valuable, but he's a backup point guard to 2 starters. So it's kind of hard to justify that one there. So I got him at 3. And the number 2, this is where I got Miles Turner. No, I'm just kidding. I got Buddy Hield.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, Buddy Hield number 2 for a lot of the reasons we already said in the previous segment before this, just his age. Not that he's that old or anything, but he's a shooter, not a great on-ball defender, not really a good on-ball defender. He's more of a decent team defender. And you got Miles, who is a awesome rim protector, if not the best in the league. He's really improved as an offensive player as well, like we talked about just a couple episodes ago. And you're seeing him grow and grow, and he's still in his prime. So that's why I got Buddy Hield at 2 and Miles at 1.
Yeah, I mean, look, for Buddy, the Iron Man himself, leading the NBA in total threes made. He's been an awesome teammate. He's been a fan favorite. He's showing no signs of slowing down. And I think he's even, you know, grown defensively since coming over to Indiana. Remember, they were not – Kings fans are just like, he's the worst defender that ever lived. And it's like, all right, look, this man's at least trying. So that's where I got him over there. Number 1, it's Miles Turner. Look, Turner's proven a lot this year. Career year, stayed healthy, chose to extend. He could have signed for a longer, if not larger, contract elsewhere. And he's looked fantastic with Tyrese. It's crazy how, you know, he is now the veteran of this team at age 26 because he's the longest tenured Pacer. And we've had numerous guests come on the show and cite his leadership. So that's why I got him as my number 1 vet on this team.
Absolutely, Fachi. Let's move on to our youngins now. So we're going to put the 2-way players in here with the remaining 9 guys that have been part of the 15-man rotation since the trade deadline. Fachi, who do you have at number 11?
I got Trevilyn Queen. Look, okay. I don't see him back with the Pacers. I thought as a 2-way contract, I thought he had a ton of promise being a G League Finals MVP and all the success that he had in the G League, but we didn't really get to see any of that. There was 1 13-point game, and that was about it.
Yeah. No, I got you. Trevilyn Queen, there's 11 for me as well. Did not look good as a point guard in the NBA. Really struggled as a backup point guard when we had a bunch of injuries. So He's doing okay in the G League. We know that he's had G League success, but I think, you know, while what he accomplished in the G League was impressive, it was that, and we got to move forward. So maybe they keep him for another two-way contract. Maybe they just sign him to a Mad Ants contract outright. But I think, for me personally, I think they might want to open up another two-way spot. And so. That could be that'll be the guy on the outside looking in. So at number 10, who do you got?
I got Kendall Brown, truly lost rookie season for the Ross second-round pick. Love his length, I hope. And, you know, expect him to be back on a two-way contract. Crazier things could happen, but I think that this is a guy that the Pacers obviously traded up for in the draft. I want to see more of him, and this is a major offseason for him. I definitely expect to see him in summer league.
Yeah, Fachi. So this is where I'm a little bit different than you, and I think it's good that I'm different. I've got O'Shea Brissett here at 10.
All right.
The main reason I have him at number 10 is because he's an expiring contract. We don't know what his value is going to be moving forward. He could not be on this team next year. I think Kendall Brown will still be on that two-way contract.
Should be.
They really were intrigued by him as a young player. He's a great young man, not just, you know, on the court, but off the court as well. When you interviewed Scott Drew, I mean, he couldn't stop raving about how great of a kid he is. So I think there's a lot to be desired there. He's got the tools that you want in a forward in today's NBA as well. So you're hoping that maybe he can just develop as a player. And I think, honestly, the injuries really set him back. But it could help them in terms of, like, getting a better contract because of the injuries too. So I just feel like Kendall Brown has a little bit more value. And I just think O'Shea, with the uncertainty of what's going to happen with him, that's why I had to put him at 10.
I don't blame you because I got O'Shea at 9.
Okay.
So, look, love me some O'Shea. This man's a goner. Yeah, I think he's leaving in free agency for – You know, it was
cool. Oh, okay, but I think it's a goner.
I know. He's only 24 years old, but I hope he gets to play bigger minutes elsewhere because his role's been reduced each of the last 3 years. Pacers had every opportunity to get ahead of an extension before the year. And it also then at one point looked like they weren't even going to pick up his option. I remember I was like sweating, like being like, come on, man, it's like $1.8 million. You got to pick it up. But if he returns, there's not really a clear path for what his role will be other than being a great teammate and, you know, maybe getting in some blowouts. So that's why I got him at 9.
Yeah, and this is where I had Kendall Brown at 9. I didn't have him much higher than O'Shea, but just had him a little bit because of the reasons I said. And, yeah, I agree with you on O'Shea. It's tough because he was our only wing for a while until we traded for Jordan Wara. And then, obviously, Kendall Brown was on the two-way deal, but we knew he wasn't ready yet. So, I mean, he really was playing a role of a need, but he really wasn't getting a lot of playing time and, you know, got the start in Toronto. I think that he fits this organization well, fits the team chemistry well. He's a good character guy. Wouldn't have any problem with him coming back. I think that'd be fine. I think he's good enough to be on this roster moving forward, but I just think, like we've talked about, you got to consolidate, and it makes sense to move on from O'Shea, because if they were that intrigued by him, I think that you see a deal get done last offseason and not just, you know, pick up the option or whatever it was.
Completely agree. Hey, brings a tear to my eye, but at number 8, I got Chris Duarte.
And, oh, okay. I got him higher.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, hey, I wouldn't blame you. I'd love to have him higher, but here's where we're at. It just flat out pains me to say that I don't know when we're going to see him again. I mean, maybe hopefully he comes back remainder of the season. I loved him last year. I nearly bought a jersey of his last year. That might have been a mistake. But look, I feel like if Buddy's still on the team, how do we even carve out a real role for Duarte if we're trying to develop Mathurin and Nembhard?
Yeah.
So it feels like he's honestly suffered a decent amount of injuries in his short span between the toe, the shoulder, ankle. Alex, I added it up. He's played in 100 games out of basically 172. So
yeah.
That's he's probably missed about 40% of his games with still, you know, the remaining 10 games to go. And even some of those games, he's gotten hurt early on. And so he was already older rookie. I'm taking some vicious shots here. But look, he was an older rookie.
All over the place.
And now a little bit injury prone. I think the Pacers will like to move on in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think the injury prone part of it does make a lot of sense. Now, the reason I have him higher, and I'll explain that, I mean, I'll just tell you where he's at when I get there. But the reason I have him higher is because of his rookie contract. I think that is so valuable to a team. And like you mentioned in the last part of the veterans, like if you're looking at trade value, that should matter quite a bit. Having the bird rights, having the restricted free agency rights, that's a big deal. When he's healthy, though, Fauci, and he's in a groove and he's in getting consistent playing time, we know what he can be. He can be a really good lockdown defender. He's a good shooter. He's a good ball mover. He's not a ball stopper. So I think that there's a lot of reasons why to be intrigued by him. So that for me is why I have him a little bit higher. But now for number eight, I was kind of torn between 7 and 8 here, Facci. But for number 8, I went Jordan Wara. I really like Jordan Wara. I like how he fits this team. He's a really good shooter. He brings size to the table, which we desperately need. But he's only got 1 year left on his contract. And then he can hit unrestricted free agency. So basically, you're going to go into the O'Shea Brissett situation all over again next season with Jordan Wara. And I think based on who they draft and based on who they trade for, he could be on the outside looking in for playing time as well, similar to where he was in Milwaukee. He's not shown me enough defensively to trust in him yet to want to make him part of the long-term rotation, because you said the same thing with Duarte not finding a spot for him. Well, if they get a starting power forward, that means Aaron Nesmith is going to have to go to the bench. So that means Aaron Nesmith either playing the three or the four. And you got to figure out what you're doing with all your other young guys as well. So I just feel like Jordan Wara, I'm a fan. I think that he's been a really surprising young piece, but at the same time, only having 1 year left and not really getting the ample amount of playing time to boost his value for teams across the league, I don't envision him giving this team much value.
Okay. Next on my list, I got Isaiah Jackson. Look, okay. There's plenty of guys in this draft that are older than Ajax. He's just 21 years old. But I got to say, I expected a lot more this year. I really did. I thought he attempted more threes last year. I thought it wasn't even about adding to your three-point game. It was about just adding your offensive game, because we always knew he could block shots, finish alley-oops, jump really high. We knew all that stuff. But I just did not see enough growth to the point where we still don't know. Oh, is he just an idea or potential based, or can he truly be at least the backup big, like the backup center on this team? So that remains to be seen. He's had his flashes. He's got about 4 or 5 double doubles on the year. I think at least 2 of them have been within the past like week or two. But I was a little bit disappointed about the sophomore year.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that on the Mailbag podcast. We were just kind of disappointed with both of the growth from our sophomores, and so I understand why you say that about Jackson. I'll get to him in a minute. I'm going to go ahead and give my number 7. I got Jalen Smith. Now, Jalen Smith was a starter. He regressed to a bench player, to not in the rotation, to back as the backup center, to kind of splitting minutes now once again with Isaiah Jackson for that role. And so it's kind of like he's been all over the place with his role this year. I think he's been a professional about it, though. He's handled himself well, as far as we know. And I'm sure there was times he didn't really enjoy it. But, you know, Facci, he's only 22 years old. And, you know, next season he'll be 23, but the year after that, it's a player option. And I think the Pacers, you know, with the player option, he might opt in and take it. But at the same time, he could just say, hey, you know what? I'm tired of not getting the ample amount of playing time that I want. There's teams out there that are willing to give me more playing time, and they could be on a lesser team. But at that point, I think if you're Jalen Smith, you're just looking for someone that's going to pay you money, guaranteed money, moving forward. And if it's the Pacers, maybe they can find a deal to work out, because I think, like we've talked about, he makes more sense as the backup center behind Miles, because they're very similar in some of the certain aspects in terms of, you know, being able to rebound the basketball, set screens. You know, they're very similar in how they play the same way of rebounding, and both can step behind the arc. Miles, obviously, much more advanced in shot blocking and that, but I think Jalen's a better rebounder, better passer, that kind of stuff. So I just feel like he's more of a natural fit, and you don't feel like you have to worry about him getting bullied down there like Ajax does, because Ajax is a little bit thinner. Mm-hmm. I just like Jalen a little bit more backup wise, but I think value wise, there's just a little bit of uncertainty because he's been so inconsistent and because he's only got a player option after next year.
I'm with you. That's why I got him next on my list. Look, okay. I wanted to believe so bad.
You're high on Jordan Wara.
I am. But stick with Jalen Smith for right now. This was such a win for the Pacers to get him to re-sign, and he shot the three ball so well last year. 37%. I mean, he was pulling down rebounds. It just looked like it was like, wow, the Pacers, you know, this is going to be a great pickup, being able to get him to re-sign. Amazing. It just, he fell out of the rotation quick, from being a starter to out of the rotation. He's played well when we've given him, you know, 20 minutes or more per game. He's still young, But is that 3-point shot coming back? Because it fell off a cliff this year.
No, it's been MIA, Fauci, and I was kind of tripping over my words when I was trying to compare his game to Miles and how they fit. I was like, I'm sounding really stupid right now. But I was like, I can't go anywhere now. I've already started saying it, so I just got to keep finishing it out. But no, I agree with you. Like, he's not the same 3-point level shooter that he was just last year in that small little stretch we saw at the end of the season. But I like his physicality. You know what I mean? Yeah. I like that he's able to bang with some of the bigger centers in the league. And, you know, we saw what it did against Joel Embiid when Miles got in foul trouble. I mean, I keep going back to that, but it's just true. I mean, it's a small sample size, yes, but that's an MVP-level player that Jalen Smith was not playing better than, but he was playing okay enough in that you didn't feel like you were taking that much of a drop-off compared to Miles. So that's kind of where it's tough, you know, but I really do like Jalen. I think that he's been a little bit underappreciated by fans this year. And, you know, I think he's just been put in a weird spot because playing alongside Miles, like, that was not really the greatest thing for him.
No, it really wasn't. I feel like at times you just kind of saw him, like, you know, standing out in the corner, just kind of like he just didn't look comfortable.
No.
So that was definitely evident. But for next on my list.
I didn't say my number six yet.
Okay, what do you got?
My number six is Chris Duarte.
Okay.
And everything I said about Duarte earlier, I still feel the same way about him, obviously. I'm not changing anything. I just feel like that contract is the big reason why I have him ahead of Warren Smith, because the injuries are a big concern. The regression, I guess you could say, a little bit, Fauci, is a bit of a concern. But I think overall we've seen him even grow a little bit this year when he's been able to put in that consistent time. Like, he was rough for the month of January. Like, the shooting percentage was just awful. And you're like, man, what is going on with him? I think he just was trying to figure out who he was supposed to be with this team, what his role was supposed to be, how he was going to fit in. So personally for me, love me some Chris Duarte from his rookie season. Sophomore year, I've been willing to move off of him. A lot of it, like you said, for logjam purposes. But I think he just brings a little bit more value back because of the contract and the bird rights being that huge when it comes to RFA.
That's true. I feel like I'm like a conspiracy theorist or someone who saw like Bigfoot, but I was like, I was in the building when he dropped 30. I saw it. Yeah. I saw it. Like, he looked so good. And it was just like, I wonder what would have happened if he didn't have that ankle injury the very next game.
Great point.
Because he was cooking at that point, and he was never the same after that. He had a few, you know, good games here and there, but it was just like, he started the season really rough, and then he started to pick it up, and then it went downhill. So it was tough. I want to see him get his mojo back, because this man was – I'll never forget that 27 points on opening night against Charlotte. But, you know, from there, he set the bar so high that maybe our expectations became a little unrealistic. Yeah. I don't know.
But, maybe a little bit. I think we're just excited.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
He was so good. I remember when they had a number one in the rookie rankings. It was only for about a week or two. But I remember being like, yes, like, we got one. We got ours. And it's just like Mathurin Nembhard looked so good this year that I feel like it kind of emphasized when Duarte was not looking good.
Well, don't forget, Bob Myers called him Dominican Clay. So
I very much remember that comparison. In the beginning, people were running wild with that. They really were.
I would say don't let sophomore slumps happen all the time.
They do.
I'd like to see what he does his third year in the league, but the age is a bit of a factor. Not a huge factor, but a little bit of a factor, considering he is the oldest young player on this team.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll be 26 in, you know, I don't know,
July.
Exactly. Like 2-3 months from now. So
in July. Yeah.
And look. 26. I mean, come on. Look, you're you know, you're
dinosaur.
So, yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, he's ancient. Should we wheel him out of here? Like, he's got plenty of time left to produce. It's just, you wonder what is his ceiling.
Yeah.
But for next on my list, a guy that you mentioned that was a bit high, Jordan Warwick.
Look,
he can flat out hoop. It's a small sample size. I get it. But I've enjoyed what we've seen from him. And maybe it's at the point where it's like, because we didn't really give up anything for him and got picks with him, that it's like made it really be like, wow, this guy can really play. But basically averaging 12 points, 4.5 rebounds, 47% shooting, and 45% from three, which I really like, on 4 attempts per game. So it's not like it's just nothing, but he's a true wing, 6'8", And then he scored in double figures in 10 of his last 11 games.
Yeah, he's been good.
He's been good, and yes, to your point, there's only 1 year left on the contract after that, but if he is in a spot where he could be, I'm not saying featured, but, you know, there won't be O'Shea there, at least I imagine, and, you know, who knows what happens with Duarte. I think that Noir has an opportunity to build on this, where I just think it was way too hard to come across playing time on a consistent basis in Milwaukee. So he's still young. I want to say he's 24, I believe.
Yeah.
So he fits the timeline of this core, but remains to be seen if it's just the timeline for one more year.
We both got to check ourselves because we keep saying we got him for nothing. Well, that's not true, Fauci. We had to give up Goga Batadze and Terry Taylor to get him. So
that's true.
We had to give up something, and we were both intrigued by Terry Taylor as a prospect. So, still think Terry Taylor could be a good player.
I'm hopeful.
The league. I think Goga still has potential as a center to do something as a backup or a third string like he was here. I mean, he could make a career out of being a third string center and not playing that much. I mean, that sounds like the life. Making millions of dollars and hardly having to play. Oh, yeah. I mean, don't have to worry about getting hurt. I know that as a competitor, that's like the weakest way out, but I'm just saying. But no, I understand though. Jordan Moore, like the height, the shooting, that's something we haven't had in a long time in that kind of position. So the Pacers were apparently high on him in the offseason. We can believe it if we want to. They say a lot of stuff. I mean, makes it sound better when you say you were high on him before, that you kept your eyes on him. But I'm sure there's a lot of players that were decently high on. So
yeah,
that's where that's at. But number five for me, I'm going to go quick here, Isaiah Jackson. Fauci, 21 years old. I understand he's completely unpolished, has a lot of room to improve upon, but just 21. Is he the youngest player on this team besides Mathurin, maybe?
Mathurin's 20, so yeah. So yeah, he's got to be okay. Second.
Yeah, so second youngest on this team, still got another 2 years on his rookie deal, plus the restricted free agency. I keep going back to that, but I just feel like Isaiah Jackson has more value because of the little things that he can do, the defensive capabilities, the blocking shots, the leaping ability for lob threats on offense. We know that Isaiah Jackson has untapped potential with his athleticism to do different things. And I think if he can just continue to work on the fundamentals, get a little bit stronger and just learn more, like get a higher basketball IQ, not saying he doesn't have a high one now, but just saying, just continue to grow that basketball IQ. I can see there being a role for him in the league for multiple teams. So, you know, that's why I think there's got to be a lot of value in him, just because number one, they traded to get back into the first round to get him. And he's a young player that's only 21 years old that's got untapped potential. So that to me is why he's at five.
Oh, the potential is through the roof, but that's why I always wonder, is the idea of Isaiah Jackson better than what he'll end up being? I don't know. I'm still very hopeful, and I don't blame you for having him this high, because I think a lot of people could have him high. They could have him low. Depends how much patience you have, I'd say. But for number four on my list, I got Aaron Nesmith.
Same here. I think we're going to have the same
4-3-2-1. I think so.
Let's just go ahead and say him real quick.
All right. So I got Nesmith. Then next, I got Nembhard.
Okay.
Then next, I got Mathurin. And then I got Haliburton.
That's the same way I had mine. So our top four are the exact same.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I would like to think that's where the majority of people are, because Nesmith's been awesome. Yeah. He really has. Look, we knew this guy could shoot threes. I think we heard he was, you know, an above average
defender. Did we know he could shoot threes? Because I remember at the beginning of the year, we couldn't stand watching him shoot
threes. Well, yeah. I mean, everybody was like, oh, for 14 games at Vanderbilt, he shot lights out 3 years ago. You know, so it's just like, yeah, I wanted to believe that he could shoot threes. He hadn't showed it from an NBA perspective, but this dude can defend. And I feel like his confidence has grown. Yeah. His role has grown. And I'm excited to see what's next. And then, obviously, we touched on, look, what is there not to like about Nembhard and Mathurin? But when it comes to a head-to-head, as good as Mathurin's been, Tyrese Haliburton is something special. And here's what I'm going to say. For a team that really doesn't hang jerseys in the rafters, Alex, I'm telling you, Tyrese Haliburton, if he sticks it out with the Pacers, even if he doesn't win a championship here, I think that man has a chance of having his jersey retired one day for the Pacers.
100% agree, Fauci. Sorry, Jermaine O'Neal, but, you know, your career with the Pacers wasn't long enough, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think if Haliburton retires a Pacer or spends at least, like, 12 to 15 years here, I can see that. definitely being the case. I think Halliburton has really embraced his franchise. He just makes it so much better. I mean,
I know
what we saw. I mean, I think the last stretch here without him, we've looked much better. But I think that's because Nembhard's gotten better. Yeah. Nembhard struggled in January. Let's just be honest. That whole time Halliburton was out, he was really struggling. I think maybe he just overthought a little bit. Like, okay, I got a great opportunity to showcase myself. And that can happen to you. And I think there's been enough tape on him that the scouting report was able to mess with some of the things he does, the tendencies and stuff like that. So, you know, it's tough. But, yeah, Halliburton's easily number one. Mathurin easily number two. Nembhard easily number three. I just think they're all in a tier by themselves. if you're looking at how we're ranking them, one, two, three, four. But I think that Nembhard to Mathurin might be a little bit closer than we want to give him credit for because what Nembhard's done defensively has just been unreal. Mathurin, I mean, the numbers he's put up scoring-wise, like the dude is a scorer. The guy is a lights-out scorer. And a free throw magnet, I mean, my goodness, getting to the free throw line at an efficient rate that he has. So I'm really just hoping to see Mathurin continue to show his efficiency from beyond the arc, in the paint, that kind of stuff. I mean, if he can grow his game that way, I think he'll be much better. But he's just got to quit being so much of a ball watcher and really just focus on defense and be a better screen navigator, because even last night in Toronto, there's a couple times where he gets screened and he just like is so slow to recover. I think that a lot of fans probably have noticed that. And I know I'm not the only one that's noticed that, but if he can get better at that, I think that that's going to take him just, you know, up another level. But yeah, Nesmith, I'll just say quickly with him, we doubted him early on. We thought, what is this guy doing? The Nesmith minute should be given to O'Shea, and Nesmith's been bad. He's not hitting anything. His defense has been decent but not good. He got a lot of foul trouble. He's still doing that, but his numbers, Focci, have been through the roof when playing with Tyrese Halliburton. They are like, Tyrese is good with almost anybody, but the way that Tyrese lifts Aaron Nesmith is just night and day.
Mm-hmm. No, it's completely true. And he gets him just, I mean, such better looks. And we saw just how much Nesmith struggled initially when Halliburton was out following that injury against the Knicks. It was like his numbers plummeted. Now I feel like Nesmith's, his game, his confidence, it's all grown, but you know, make no mistake about it. If you're in the league, you want Tyrese Halliburton on your team because he's going to make passes that you couldn't even fathom. And in specific, that Halliburton pass to Nembhard for the game winner against the Lakers, that's a pass that only a couple guys in the league could make. And that's what makes Tyrese Halliburton so special.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Focci. So let's go ahead and wrap things up. Let people know where they can find us at on social media.
Absolutely. So you can find us on Twitter at SettingThePace3. You can find Alex on Twitter at AlexGoldenNBA. I can be found on Twitter at _FACCI. You can find us on Instagram at PacersTalk. You can find us on Facebook at Setting the Pace. You can find us on TikTok at Setting the Pace. And Alex, tell them where they can check us out on YouTube.
Ladies and gentlemen, go to youtube.com/Setting the Pace, a Pacers podcast. Subscribe to our channel and like all of our videos. Want to put this out there that our Lance Stephenson conversation we did in the summer got picked up about a month ago by an article, and I don't know what happened, but it got shared all over the place, was promoted all over Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and that video skyrocketed from about 1,000 views to 25,000 views in just like a week or so. So I was like, wow, okay. So if you missed any of our old stuff in the summer, go back and listen to it. That stuff is still relevant to today, especially the Lance stories. You can never get enough of that, but make sure you guys just let us know what you think of the content we put out there. And if you haven't already, subscribe to our Substack at settingthepacepodcast.substack.com. If you like seeing things in written form, I am working on uploading our March mailbag article that we did podcast-wise, but just a little bit cleaner, having it in a written form. So with that being said, Focci, if you're ready to get off this podcast and go throw down some buffalo chicken dip, then hit me with these three words.
Let's go Pacers!
Setting the pace, going to the top. Setting the pace, going to the top. This is your number one podcast. Sweeping every team. We gon' need a mop. Smooth.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.